Blog Talk Radio.
That David came about because
Saul was disobedient. We can't be disobedient to God. And so it really worked out, and I believe my very youngest was 4, and I believe she was getting it. She was understanding because she's a pistol. And it was so hilarious because she's got this very, very soft voice. And, you know, we talked about bullying and, you know, how, you know, we can't do things that are mean and hateful. And what I said now, if you think about it, if you just hit somebody and they hit you back, what can you say? You started it. And this little boy said, I would just get him later. I thought, okay, God, we got some work to do. But, you know, thanking God that children understand obedience. Obedience to God, obedience to their parents, obedience to those that are in authority. We've got to teach our children how to be obedient, but not to be abused. And so that's just one of those things. Obedience is better than sacrifice, so that we have to learn from what we do. You know, when God told Saul, we went over this as well, get rid of all the things of the Amalekites. And instead, he comes out with Agag and our Agag. And he's like, and also Samuel could hear sheep and cattle and all the things bellowing in the background. He said, were you not told to get rid of everything? Well, we figured we kept the best so we could use it for sacrifice. You know, excuse, excuse, excuse. And that was it. Samuel was done. And he said, and then when he tried to walk away and Saul tore his robe, and he said to him, your kingdom is going to be torn. You're done. And we are grateful. We have to be grateful that we have a Jesus so that we're not done, that we can be forgiven by grace. So those are the things that, you know, my children learn and that I'm grateful that God put in my heart from reading this word, how to explain it. Thank you, God. So let's get your Bibles out. We are in 1 Chronicles, starting in chapter 11. And it says this, and I'm still just absolutely amazed how quickly this month has gone by. We're on the 23rd of June already. It's flying by. And I'm sorry, we are starting in the 9th chapter of 1 Chronicles. And it says this, so all Israel was recorded by genealogy. Indeed, they were inscribed in the book of the kings of Israel. But Judah was carried away captive to Babylon because of their, here we go, we're talking about disobeying God, unfaithfulness. First inhabitants who dwelt in their possessions in their cities, come on now, were Israelite priests, Levites, and the Nethinim. Now, in Jerusalem, the children of Judah dwelt, and some of the children of Benjamin and of the children of Ephraim and Manasseh, Uthai, the son of Ammihud, the son of the son of Imri, the son of Benai, of the descendants of Perez, the son of Judah, of the Shelonites, Asa, the firstborn, and his sons, of the sons of Zerah, Jeuel, and their brethren, 690 of the sons of Benjamin, Shalu, son of Meshullam, the son of Hodaviah, the son of Hasanah, Ebaniah, the son of Jeroham, Elam, the son of Uzziah, the son of Makari, and Meshullam, the son of Shephatiah, the sons of Raul, the sons of Abijah, and their brethren according to their generations, 956. All these men were heads of the father's house in the father's houses. And the priest Jedidiah, Jehoram, and Jachin, Azariah, the son of Elkaniah, the son of Meshullam, the son of Zadok, the son of Merah, the son of Ethereb, the officer over the house of God, Adiah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Peshur, the son of Melchanai, Messiah, the son of Adil, the son of Jezariah, the son of Meshullam, the son of Meshullamite, the son of Emma, and the brethren heads of their father's houses, 1,660. They were very able men for the work of the service of the house of God. Of the Levites, Shemaiah, the son of Ishta, the son of Ezrakam, the son of Hashabiah, of the sons of Mari, Bakbakai, Hezrai, Gilai, Shemaiah, the sons of Micah, the sons of Zechariah, the sons of Asaph, Obadiah, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Galil, the son of Jethan, and Berechiah, the son of Asa, the son of Elkanah, who lived in the villages of the Netophahites. And the gatekeepers were Shalom, Ichab, Talmon, Ammon, and their brethren. Shalom was the chief. Until then, they had been gatekeepers for the camps of the children of Levi in the king's gate on the east. Shalom, the son of Gor, and the son of Abasaph, the son of Korah, and his brethren from his father's house. The Korahites were in charge of the work of the service, gatekeepers of the tabernacle. Their fathers had been keepers of the entrance of the temple of the Lord. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, had been the officer over them in time past. The Lord was with him. Zechariah, the son of Meshelemiah, the keeper of the door of the tabernacle of meeting. All those chosen as gatekeepers were 212. They were recorded by their genealogy in their villages. David and Samuel the seer had appointed them to their trusted office. So they and their children were in charge of the gates of the house of the Lord, the house of the tabernacle by assignment. The gatekeepers were assigned to the four directions, the east, west, north, and south. Their brethren on their villages had to come from them from time to time for 7 days. But in this trusted office were four chief gatekeepers. They were Levites, and they had charge over the chambers and treasures of the house of God. And they lodged all around the house of God because they had the responsibility, and they were in charge of opening it every morning. And when I put a pin there, when we talk about the gatekeepers, you know, I always go back to the scriptures. I'd rather be, the psalm, I believe, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tent of the wicked. The doorkeepers or gatekeepers, they were important. They opened, they closed, they kept everything rolling, going smoothly in the house of God. And it goes on to say, now, some of them were in charge of the serving vessels, but they brought them in and took them out by count. Some of them were appointed over the furnishings and over all the implements of the sanctuary and over the fine flour and the wine and the oil and the incense and the spices. And some of the sons of the priests made the ointments of the spices. Nethaniah of the Levites, the firstborn of Shalom, the Korahite, had the trusted office over the things that were baked in the pan. Each group of people had assignments, just as we have assignments today. What if the person that was in charge of the flour or the oil or the wine did not do their job, and it came time for sacrifice, and what they needed was not that. You know, everybody has assignments. Even in the church today, we each one have an assignment. Whether you are an evangelist, whether you are an apostle, whether you are an elder, whether you are a preacher, teacher, whatever your position, if you are the pastor, whatever your position, do your job. If you are a singer in the choir, on the praise team, if you are one of the actors on the drama team, or if you are a praise dancer or an usher, the ushers are some of the most important people in the church. They are the ones that hold up the wall. They are the gatekeepers. They are the keepers of the house of God. And they have to be on their job and on point. Those are the things that work. Even though we're talking the names that we can barely pronounce, these people have positions within the body of God, within the church, the tabernacle of meetings. They have positions. These are the singers, and now the singers are important. Heads of the father's houses of the Levites who lodged in the chambers and were free from other duties, but they were employed in that work day and night. These heads of the father's house of the Levites were heads throughout their generations. They dwelt at Jerusalem. Jael, the father of Gibeon, whose wife's name was Micah, dwelt in Gibeon. His firstborn son was Abdon, then Zer, Kish, Baal, Ner, Nadab, Gedor, Ahio, Zechariah, Miklot begat Shemiam. They also dwelt alongside their relatives in Jerusalem with their brothers. Ner begat Kish, Kish begat Saul, Saul begat Jonathan, Malchishai, Abinadab, Esbaal. The son of Jonathan was Mirabel. Mirabel begat Micah. The sons of Micah were Pithon, Milik, Tahara, Ahaz, and Ahaz begot Shara. Shara begot Elamet, Esmavet, and Zamari. Zamari begot Moza. Moza begot Benaiah, Raphaniah, his son, Elishai, Ezra, his son, and Azel, the sixth sons, whose names were these: Ez, Rakam, Bo, Cheru, Ishmael, Sariah, Obadiah, Hanan. These were the sons of Azel. And going back into chapter 9, life lesson, Judah was carried away captive to Babylon because of their unfaithfulness. While eager obedience brings blessing, stubborn disobedience brings judgment. Judah did not get dragged to Babylon because it lacked political power, military strength, diplomatic connections, or financial resources. Unfaithfulness to God caused the exile. We reap what we sow more than we sow, and later than we sow. Come on now. And it goes on to say, now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Deborah. Then the Philistines followed hard after Saul and his sons, and the Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishai, Saul's sons. The battle became fierce against Saul. The archers hit him, and he was wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised men come and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell on it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his sword and died. So Saul and his three died, and all his house died together. We're just talking about Saul and his disobedient spirit. And when all the men of Israel who were in the valley saw that they had fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook their cities and fled. Then the Philistines came and dwelt in them. So it happened the next day when the Philistines came to strip the slain, they found Saul and his sons fallen on Mount Gabor. And they stripped him and took his head and his armor and sent word throughout the land of the Philistines to proclaim the news in the temple of the idols and among the people. Then they put their armor in the temple of their gods and fastened his head on the temple of Dagon. Come on now. Come on. Can we say sacrilege at its worst? Just evil. You know, in other words, they were mocking God. They were mocking God to say, yeah, our God beat your God, and we did this, that, and the other, not understanding. Okay, keep talking. Keep letting your mouth talk, okay? Y'all know the rest. And it goes on to say, and when all of Jabesh, Gilead heard all that the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose, took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons, and they brought them to Jabesh and buried their bones under the Tamarisk tree in Jabesh and fasted 7 days. Saul died for his unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance. Now, y'all remember that story. Saul, after the death of Samuel, Saul was getting ready for this battle and decided to go to a medium and ask for Samuel. And you know Samuel was not feeling that. And even in death, Samuel told him about himself and told him he was going to die. And that was it, done. He didn't put the end in it. But he did not inquire the Lord. Therefore, he killed him and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. You know, disobedience. You know, obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, his life is gone. He did not do what God told him to do. 1 Chronicles 4:14, he did not inquire the Lord. Therefore, he killed him and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. And all matters that require guidance, whether large or small, God wants us to come to him first. If necessary, he will move heaven and earth to show us his will. And, you know, I can say I have been out of the will of God myself. You know, thinking you got it going on, thinking you know what you're doing. You know, I know what I'm doing. No, you don't. And when you think you're taking it to God, but in all honesty, you are taking it to self, because you know God has told you to do something that's going to make your life harder. That's not who he does, what he does. But we go to do our thing because we think we know more than God, when we do not. Only one God, and his name is not Bridget. Come on now. Got to be honest with yourself, with ourselves. I know I can mess up some stuff, but I know that I got to start cleaning up and following what thus said the Lord God. And as we move forward in this word in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, it says, then all Israel came together to David at Hebron, saying, indeed, we are your bone and your flesh. Also in time past, even when Saul was king, you were the one who led Israel out and brought them in. And the Lord your God said to you, you shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over my people Israel. Therefore, all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel according to the word of the Lord by Samuel. And David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, which is Jebus, where the Jebusites were, the inhabitants of the land, But the inhabitants of Jebus said to David, you shall not come in here. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, that is the city of David. Now David said, whoever attacks the Jebusites first shall be chief and captain. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, went up first and became chief. Then David dwelt in the stronghold. Therefore, they called it the city of David. And he built the city around it, from the mellow to the surrounding area. Joab prepared the rest of the city. So David went on and became great, and the Lord of hosts was with him. Now these were the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom, with all Israel, to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. And this is the number of the mighty men whom David had: Joshabaim, the son of Hakkamonite, chief of the captains. He had lifted up his spear against 300, killed by him at one time. After him was Elijah, the son of Dodo, the Oahite, who was one of the three mighty men. He was with David at Pasdamim. Now there the Philistines were gathered for battle, and there was a piece of ground full of barley. So the people fled from the Philistines, but they stationed themselves in the middle of that field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Now three of the 30 chief men went down to the rock to David into the cave of Adullam. And the army of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David said with longing, oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. So the three broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, David would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, far be it from me, O my God, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of these men who have put their lives in jeopardy? For at the risk of their lives, they brought it. Therefore, he would not drink it. These things were done by the three mighty men. Abishai, the brother of Joab, was chief of another three. He had lifted up his spear against 300 men, killed them, and won a name among these three. Of the three, he was more honored than the other two men. Therefore, he became the captain. However, he did not attain to the first three. Then Ananias was the son of Joadiah, the son of a dying man from Kabzeel, who had done many deeds. He had killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. He also had gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. And he killed an Egyptian, a man of great height, 5 cubits tall, in the Egyptian camp. There was a spear like a weaver's beam, and he went down to him with a staff, wrestled the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and killed him with his own spear. These things Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, did, and won a name among three mighty men. Indeed, he was more honored than the 30, but he did not attain to the first three, and David appointed him over. So the mighty warriors were Asahel, the brother of Joab, Elhanan, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem, Shemot, the Horite, Eliab, the Pelonite, Ira, the son of Ichish, and the Tekoite, Abazar, the Ammonite, Zabakai, the Hushite, Ael, the Ahite, and Mahari, the Netophathite. Shafat, the Lord, the son of Minai, the Netphalahite, Ittai, son of Rabbi, of Gedes, the son of Benjamin, Benaniah, the Harlotite, Horiah of the books of Gedes, Abiel, the Arbite, Ezmabot, and Baharamite, Elaba, the Selbanite, and Jonathan, the son of Sager, the Herite, I am the son of Sikar, and Herite, Elphi, the son of Ephir, the Mithraite, Ezai, the Pelonite, and Hezro, the Carmelite, Mirai, the son of Ismael, Joel, the brother of Nathan, Mibhar, the son of Hezrai, Zilik, the Ammonite, Nahara, the Bilonite, and the Amabir of Joab, the son of Zura. Ira, the Hittite, Jereb, the Hittite, Uriah, the Hittite, Zabad. Now, you know Uriah, the Hittite, that was Bathsheba's husband. Zabad, the son of Ahalai, Adina, the son of Hezron, Reubenite, a chief of the Reubenites, and 30 with him, Hanai, the son of Mikai, Jehoshaphat, the Midnight, Uzziah, the Asherahite, Shema, the Joel, the sons of Hakim, the Orite, and Jabiel, the son of Shimon, the Joah, the brother of Terat, Tizite, Joah, the Medivite, and Jeremiah, and Joshaniah, the son of Amnon, Ithamah, and Moabite, Obed and Jesse, the Mizobite. Whew, Jesus. Say all those names 50 times. Just say it 3 times. Man, some of these names are hard, and I'm just going to call it straight. But I pray to God that I'm getting as many of them correct as I can. Wow. Those were some names. And we have people that do the same thing today, cannot pronounce their child's name, nevertheless try to spell it. But we pray God's grace and blessing. Thank you, Lord. Now, chapter 12 of 1 Chronicles. Now, these were the men who came to David at Ziklag while he was still a fugitive from Saul, the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men, helpers in the war, armed with bows, using both the right hand and the left in early stones, and shooting arrows with the bow. They were of Benjamin, Saul's brethren. The chief was Hazar to Joash, the sons of Shammai, the Gibeonite, at Jezreel, the Pelet, the son of Ezmabot, the Arachite, and Jehu, the Emo, Ishmael, the Gibeonite, and mighty man among the 30. And over the 30, Jeremiah, Jehazel, Janin, and Jochebed, Gibeonite, Eluziah, Jeremiah, Beliah, Shemariah, and Shephatiah, the Hephelite, Elkanah, Jezariah, Azariah, Joseph, Joshboim, Korahite, and Jolah, the Zebediah, the sons of Joram of Gedor. Some of the Gittites joined David at the stronghold in the wilderness, mighty men of valor, men trained for battle, who could handle handle shield and spear, whose faces were like the faces of lions and were as swift as gazelles on the mountains. Isaiah the first, Obadiah the second, Eliab the third, Mishaniah the fourth, Jeremiah the fifth, Agai the sixth, Iel the seventh, Jonah the eighth, Elzabad the ninth, Jeremiah the tenth, and Nethaniah the 11th. These were from the sons of Gad, captains of the army. The least was over 100, and the greater was over 1,000. These are the ones who crossed the Jordan in the first month, when it had overflowed all its banks, and they put to flight all those in the valley to the east and to the west. Then some of the sons of Benjamin and Judah came to David at the stronghold, and David went out to meet them and answered and said to them, "If you have come peaceably to me to help me, my heart will be united with you. But if to betray me to my enemies, since there is no wrong in my hand, may the God of our fathers look and bring judgment." Then the spirit came upon Amasa, chief of the captains, and he said, and this is our title for today, "We are yours, O David. We are on your side, O son of Jesse." And our word for this morning is peace, peace to you. And peace to your helpers, for your God helps us. And our word is peace, peace to you, to your helpers, for your God helps us. Hallelujah. So David received them and made them captains of the troop. And some from Manasseh defected to David when he was going with the Philistines to battle against Saul. But they did not help them, for the Lord of the Philistines sent him away by agreement, saying, "He may defect to his master Saul and endanger our heirs." When he went to Ziklag, those of Manasseh who defected to him were Adnah, Jozabad, Zediel, Michael, Jozabad, Elihu, and Zelenai, and Zelothai, captains of thousands who were from Manasseh. And they helped David against the band of raiders, but they were all mighty men of valor, and they were captains in the army. But at that time they came to David day by day to help him, until it was a great army like the army of God. Now these were the numbers of the divisions that were equipped for war and came to David at Hebron to turn over the kingdom of Saul to him, according to the word of the Lord. Of the sons of Judah, bearing shield and spear, 6,800 armed for war. Of the sons of Simeon, mighty men of valor, fit for war, 7,100. Of the sons of Levi, 4,600. Joadiah, the leader of the Aaronites, and with him 3,600. Zadok, a young man, a valiant warrior, and from his father's house, 22 captains of the sons of Benjamin, relatives of Saul, 3,000. Until then, the greatest part of them had remained loyal to the house of Saul. Of the sons of Ephraim, 20,800 mighty men of valor, famous men throughout their father's houses. Of the half tribe of Manasseh, 18,000 who were designated by name to come and make David king. Of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were command. Of Zebulun, 50,000 who went out to battle, expert in war with all weapons of war, stout-hearted men who could keep rank. Of Naphtali, 1,000 captains, and with them 37,000 with shield and spear. Of the Danites, who could keep battle formation, 28,600 of Asher, who could go out to war, able to keep battle formation, 40,000 of the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh. From the other side of the Jordan, 100,000 army armed for battle with every kind of weapon of war. All these men of war who could keep ranks came to Hebron with a loyal heart to make David king over Israel. And all the rest of Israel were of one mind to make David king. And they were there with David 3 days, eating and drinking, for their brethren had prepared for them. Moreover, those who were near to them from as far away as Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali were bringing food on donkeys and camels, on mules and oxen, provisions of flour and cakes of seeds and cakes of raisins, wine and oil and oxen and sheep abundant, for there was joy in Israel. And our title is a life lesson. Peace to you and peace to your helpers, for your God helps you. When the Spirit leads us to join God's people in a developing work of God, we must listen and obey, regardless of how undeveloped the work appears, to walk in this, to obey the initial prompting of the Spirit. All these mighty men by name, God has placed in his word. And all we have to do is follow what thus says the Lord, which is what they did. And as we go to chapter 13 of this First Chronicle word on this Old Testament Friday, it says, then David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said to all the assembled of Israel, if it seems good to you, and if it is of the Lord our God, let us send out to our brethren everywhere who are left in all the land of Israel, and with them to the priests and Levites who are in their cities and their common land, that they may gather together to us, and let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul. Then all the assembly said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all of Israel together, from Shihar to in Egypt to as far as the entrance of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath Jearim. And David and all Israel went up to Bala, to Kirjath Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, the Lord who dwells between the cherubim, where his name is proclaimed. So they carried the ark of God in a new cart from the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. Then David and all Israel played music before God with all their might, with the singing and harps on string instruments, on tambourines, on cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came to Sidon, his Lord, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him before he put his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, therefore that place was called Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of God that day, saying, how can I bring the ark of God to me? So David would not move the ark with him into the city of David, but took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all he had. And a life lesson from chapter 13. Let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul. David saw the ark as a means to draw even closer to God than he had previously. We are made for an intimate relationship with God, and we should employ every godly means possible to draw close to him. Draw close to God. And as we finish up this word this morning, in chapter 14 of First Chronicles, now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David, and cedar trees with masons and carpenters to build him a house. So David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, for his kingdom was highly exalted for the sake of his people Israel. Then David took more wives in Jerusalem, and David begot more sons and daughters. And these are the names of his children whom he had in Jerusalem: Shemu, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, Iba, Elijah, Elpelet, Nergal, Nebeg, Japhia, Ishamah, Eliada, Elphalet. And when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, all the Palestinians, the Philistines went up to search for David, and David heard of it and went out against him. Then the Philistines went and made a raid on the valley of Rephaim, and David inquired of God, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands?" The Lord said to him, "Go up, for I will deliver them into your hands." So they went up to Baal-perazim, and David defeated them there. Then David said, God had broken through my enemies by my hand like a breakthrough of water. Therefore they called the name of the place Baal-perazim. And when they left their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they were burned with fire. Then the Philistines once again made raid on the valley. Therefore David inquired again of God, and God said to him, "You shall not go up after them. Circle around them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be when you sound a marching in the top of the mulberry trees, then you shall go out to battle. For God has gone out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines." So David did as God commanded him, and they drove back the army of the Philistines from Gibeon as far as Gezer. Then the family of David went out into all lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. And a couple of life lessons from this 13th and 14th Chronicle word. The ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom. God used his blessing on Obed-Edom to show David that although he would always judge sin, he desired to draw close to his people and bless him. 1 Chronicles 14:12. David gave a commandment, and they were burned with fire. Unlike some of his predecessors and many of his successors, David did not collect the idols of his defeated enemies, but burned them as God commanded in Deuteronomy 7:5. Obedience always brings blessings. What a mighty word this morning. Even with all the hard names and every word, God put all the information we need to know who you are, who you belong to, where do you come from. So many of us have done DNA and genealogy trying to find out who do we belong to. In the Word of God, his children are broken down and told who they are. We got to know who we are so we can do what God calls us to do. So you know that you are a gatekeeper because it is in your DNA. You sing because it's in your DNA. You are evangelist because it's in your DNA. Hallelujah. You just give wisdom because it's all where we need to be. And the one thing we can take from this word is David was selfless. You know, and that's our word for this morning, selflessness. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. That's why all these mighty men came to David, because he looked out for them. He looked out for their families. He was willing to fight for them, and they knew it. And that's why they loved David. That's why David was loved by God, because he was selfless. Whatever God told him to do, he did it. Where Saul did what Saul wanted to do. And it was not always what he was told to do by God. God of compassion, thank you for your affection. It goes beyond the boundaries that we set. Your limitless love goes farther than the farthest reaches of the galaxy. Your endless supply is always accessible. Taking my cues from you, I look to those in front of me, considering their interests as well as my own. I don't want to be small-minded in the way I live my life. May I live with intentionality, giving away kindness. Life is going out of style, except it never will. When my vision gets narrow and I can only see my little section of the world, I pray for eyes to view the bigger picture, to really see the people around me in a world full of self-centeredness. May I live considerately with unity as the goal. Thank you, Lord, that I was made to operate in a family and a community working with others. That is David's story. He was selfless. You know, do we practice selflessness? Do we treat each other the way we want to be treated? And I love this word. It says, make you proud. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 in our SB. Father, as your image bearer, I want to make you proud of how I represent you in my life. Whew, Lord, we all want to make you proud. With truth guiding my mind and your faithful love as my motivation, I offer all I am to serve your purposes on the earth. May your kingdom be made real in my life, so everyone who knows me sees that your goodness is real and it is accessible to all. Thank you. I want to say thank you for filling my life with your mercy and grace so I'm able to partner with you in extending compassion and kindness to others. Let me be diligent in exhibiting your character and sharing your heart with those around me. I ask for boldness to reveal the meaning of my own life with those who are unfamiliar with your ways. There is no one like. I want all the world to know the transformation you bring. You are a master restorer, melting hearts of stone and loving the dead to life. Ooh, I love that word. And others make what in others make you proud to know them? What makes me proud to know all of you is that you get up every day with me, some of you, and we go through this word together. And all I can say is thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank God. We are thankful. We are blessed. We are highly favored. We are sons and daughters of God. And we can only say, thank you. Anyone that has a word, please push the number one on your phone because your house just got filled up. Thank God every day. Thank God every day. And as we go forth this morning, I have not gotten a word from my sister in Christ. Sister Carolyn has been ill, so I ask all of you to please keep our sister in Christ in your prayer, you know, for God's absolute healing. She is such a joy to be around. She's just a wonderful woman of God. And God just put in my heart to just give you a word from Sister Carolyn. It is not today's word, but it is a word that we all need a word from God. And the word is this: when you pray, God listens. When you listen, God speaks. When you believe, God moves on your behalf. And so we're going to ask God to move on behalf of our sister in Christ. And we ask God, as she has given us the word before, God will give you strength for every battle, wisdom for every decision, and peace that surpasses all understanding. Have a fantastic Friday, family. And again, keep our sister in your prayers. And let's all keep lifting up the name of Jesus, thanking God for every day, thanking God for every breath you breathe, thanking God that he is always there and in the midst of your life. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a fantastic Friday and know who you are, that you are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and he loves you. So I say to you today, peace, peace to you, and peace to your helpers, for your God helps you. Thank you, God, for helping us. Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you, God, for your complete healing of the sick, of the shut-in, of mothers and fathers and children. Thank you, God, for just being who you are, awesome and mighty. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord, as you watch over us, as we depart from each other. May we come again in your word on Sunday, Lord God. We ask for strength. We ask for healing. We ask for peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all. May God bless you. May God keep you. May his light shine upon you and give you peace. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. Why? Because I got to go to work. I love you all. It's a wrap. Please also keep our traveling sister, Mother Valerie, in your prayers as well, as she is having a fantastic vacation. I've gotten some beautiful pictures, and she looks so relaxed by the ocean that all I can say is, look at God. So keep our mother also in your prayers, as you keep Sister Carolyn and each other in your prayers. Pray for our family. Pray for each other and know that God's in charge. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap.